Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. It is beautiful to see all of your resurrection faces. Hello to you and to all of you who are with us online. I know there are many. We are the church that seeks to know God, to love God, and to serve God. So whether you're with us online or in person, we're delighted that you're here, and we are joining with Christians all over the world today who are also celebrating, and it is so wonderful to be a part of that community. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. Also leading us in worship today are Bruce Stark, Gwen and Anna Atarian, Pastor John, who will be bringing the message, as well as, you've already heard, strings and bells and singers, and we're going to have lots of hallelujah joy. We'd like to encourage everyone here to fill out one of these pink cards. It was inside of your bulletin. We call it a connection card, and the purpose of it is for us to know you were here and to know how to reach out to you. And on the back, there are a lot of ways that you can get involved because there are so many great things happening here. You can check them off and we'll follow up with you. Also, if there is something going on in your life that you need some prayer, we are a praying church. We have people that gather every Thursday morning to pray about whatever concerns have been lifted. So the pink card, there's the connection cards are pink, but there's some different pink cards that are the prayer cards, and they are in the pew rack. And both of those, you can put them right in the offering plate. And if you're visiting with us, don't worry about putting financial gifts in. Just put these cards in, and we will reach out to you. Now we do, one other thing, kids, all the kids that are here, there are Easter bags for you near the door. If you didn't get one on your way in, get one on your way out, because right now you're invited to go to Sunday school. So any kids that are still here, haven't already gone down to Sunday school, get your Easter bag and head on down. But I think a lot of kids might already be down there. Now I do have a few announcements. First of all, I am really happy to tell you that we have a new group starting here at the church. Pastor John has decided that he's going to start a group for people in their 20s and 30s. They could be single, they could be a couple, but they're going to have some interesting things to do, and they're going to have a gathering, I think, to be kind of a planning session that's going to be on Wednesday, April 10th at 7 o'clock. And if you're in that age range, you're invited, but check it out with Pastor John. I also want to let you know that there's a new member class that begins on April 14th. If you are interested in knowing more about the United Methodist Church, or if you're interested in knowing more about who we are as a church here, or if you just have been coming for a while and you're just feeling like maybe it's time to make it official, we would love to have you. It's going to be from 5 to 6:30 Sunday evenings, starting for 2 weeks, April 14th and the 21st. And just let me or Pastor Lindsay know, or I don't know, is it on the card? You'll have to look. I hope so. I hope so. Let us know or send us an email. And we will have a little simple meal and childcare will be provided. And then save the dates. Believe it or not, we're starting to think about summer. And so just so you get these on your calendar, so when you're planning your vacations, you should know that summer camp for grades 3 through 12 is going to be in June 23rd through 29th. Vacation Bible School is going to be July 30th through August 1st. And the Musical Theater Camp, which is incredible, is going to be August 5th through 11th. So just mark them on your calendars. There'll be more stuff coming later. And then one last thing that I wanted to share with you is we're thinking about our college students, and maybe we got some of our college students home with us today, and I hope so. But we're thinking about you, and we want to send care packages, and those care packages are going to be sent out. We need items by April 7th to put into them. So we need things like Post-it notes, microwave popcorn, travel tissues, kind bars, and if you want to give some money to help cover the postage for all of this stuff, we would be happy to help to that to happen. But April 7th coming right up. It's next week, right? So with all of those things, I invite you to prepare your hearts for worship as Pastor John comes forward to lead us.
Amen. Happy Easter, church. Happy Easter indeed. Amen. I invite you to join with me in a litany that should be on the screen in just a moment here. The tomb is dark, but empty. The one you are looking for has overcome the darkness. The stone has been rolled away. The one you are looking for has overcome death. The burial clothes are put aside. The one you are looking for is alive. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Let us worship our risen Savior. Amen. I invite you to stand and join us as we sing together, Christ the Lord is risen today.
has gone to Galilee. He said, my brothers, follow me. He has risen and set us free. The stone is rolled away. Let all Christians praise his name.
Join me in the opening prayer. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we join to celebrate your resurrection. We thank you and praise you for your saving grace that is the hope for our world. As you have rolled the stone away from death and the grave, remove the barriers in our lives that keep us from living and growing in you. Help us to experience the peaceful joy of your mercy every day of our lives. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, then on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But the words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who conquered death and left the grave empty. Amen. Amen. Well, we've had a wonderful week here at the church. It's been wonderful to begin with Palm Sunday, to experience the waving of the palm branches last week, and then we had a beautiful rendition of the Soliloquy of the Twelve, where all of the apostles were able to share their stories on Maundy Thursday. We had a wonderful experience of hearing reflections on the seven last words of the cross brought by individuals who are discerning calls to ministry, retired clergy, our active clergy here. It was fun to walk into the sanctuary on Friday with all of the other clergy who are a part of it. And we've put so much energy and emphasis into getting everything just right for Easter Sunday. So you can imagine my surprise for those of you who turned into the church from Grand River when earlier this week, as I was coming to church, I discovered that, you know, a big portion of our front lawn had been completely dug up by excavators who are running a fiber optic cable from somewhere outside of downtown Brighton to downtown Brighton. Maybe as you turned in here, you notice a massive pile of dirt on our front lawn. Not a big deal, but when you're striving for perfection and you're trying to get everything ready so it looks nice in the church, so I thought it would be appropriate actually with this massive pile of dirt to just put a sign up there that says, "He's not here, he is risen." It almost worked, you know? And nevertheless, you know, the best laid plans go astray, and so life goes on. I was reflecting, actually, I was preparing for this message this morning. Our kids, my wife and I are both clergy here at the church, and so our kids are what are called double PKs, which means both of their parents are pastors. This is either a really good thing for them, or it could be a really rough thing for them. But one of the things that meant is when spring break falls on Holy Week, it makes it a little bit difficult to travel with parents. And so earlier this spring, my wife and I decided that we are going to do the thing that, you know, every parent, I think, strives to do. Maybe this isn't true. That might not be true. But you strive to take your kids to Disney World once. You know, you want to take them and see the magic of the Magic Kingdom, see fireworks and all of the things. So earlier this year, we decided that we were going to take our kids to Disney World. And if you haven't been there for a while, you should know that these days, most of Disney World's activities are coordinated through your cell phone. You hop on the Magic Disney app and you coordinate all of your first rides, and you can reserve fast passes so that you don't have to wait in line. So I woke up early in the morning, which isn't necessarily the most fun part of this experience. And so all of the rides you can reserve at something like 6 a.m., which I think is basically torture, by the way. And so you wake up early in the morning and you look for the first ride available. And for me, the first ride that was available was this dinosaur adventure ride. And so I hop on and I reserve that at the Animal Kingdom, which was the park that we were visiting to on the first day. Now, if you haven't been on this experience, you should know that in the whole ride line waiting for the experience, you go into this space and there are dinosaur fossils everywhere. It's cool. It's engaging. It's exciting to be a part of. And then you get on the ride and all of the lights go dark and there are herbivores and there are carnivores and some of their teeth are literally like the same size as my daughter's head. And we're in the darkness and suddenly the guide on this experience starts shouting that, you know, everything is falling into destruction and there are meteorites raining down. And I look over on our first day at Disney World at my son who has pulled his coat over his head and my daughter who is white-knuckled holding onto the vehicle handlebars shaking. And I found myself thinking, wow, there goes about $5,000. This is not going to be a good experience. And as we ride through this experience, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I have really let the family down this morning. We could have started with something light, not terrifying, not apocalyptic, not proclaiming that the world was going to end as all these meteorites just do-do-do-do-do-do, and suddenly some giant carnivore comes popping out of nowhere with these massive teeth, and I can hear my children shouting, and I think, whoo, I am not going to be nominated for any Parent of the Year awards this morning. Needless to say, we got off the ride and we go into what Disney does best, a massive gift store where there are dinosaur fossils and stuffed animals. Can I have that? Oh, that looks so cool. And all of a sudden, all of the fear and anxiety and sadness and worry all of a sudden melts away into excitement. And I lean over to my daughter and I'm like, are you okay? And she's still, you know, sort of anxious as she should be. And she goes, I want to do it again. It's a lot easier to read this story when you know how it ends. The truth of the matter is, the first morning, Easter morning, the women went running to the grave doing something that was very religiously customary in their day. Their bags probably were filled with spices that were customary in the time. They were going to spread these spices over Jesus to care for his dead body inside the grave. And you can imagine their surprise when they show up in this particular place and they discover that the stone has been rolled away and the body isn't there. If you can think about it, in that particular moment, I imagine it's not that different than when you hop on the first amusement park experience and all of a sudden, all the meteorites are raining down and there's terrifying noises and there are massive things that feel like they're about to eat you looking out from every corner. You can imagine the fear that these women probably experienced as they went running to the grave to discover that it was empty. For the most part, when we experience death in our life, the first thing that we believe is true is that dead things tend to stay that way. These women, when they showed up, you can imagine their complete shock, their surprise, their disorientation, their anxiety to discover an empty tomb. I imagine it would have been completely earth-shaking for them to experience that. The reality of the resurrection caught almost everybody off guard. Nobody was anticipating it. Even Jesus' closest friends could not believe that Jesus was going to do what he said he was going to do in the Sea of Galilee when he was preaching and teaching and sharing with all of the disciples. He told them that someday I'm going to die, but behold, I am going to be raised from the dead. That won't be the end of the story. But in those moments, the men in particular were hiding inside the upper room, afraid of what might happen to them if they were to go out and continue to teach and preach and heal as Jesus had done throughout his ministry. And it took the courage, the bravery of women who over and over again in the Gospels display unimaginable faith to go to the tomb, to care for his body, to cover his body in all of these spices. And I love the fact that in this particular account, the account that's included in the gospel according to Luke, there are two men standing in the garden and they ask this question that I think continues to resonate to this day. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive. And I found myself especially preparing for Easter morning this day, just reflecting on those questions and statements. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And I have to say, it's not exactly hard to find yourself in sort of a glass half empty perspective in our world today. I can find myself looking for the living amongst the dead a fair amount myself. Maybe it's the fact that you turn on the news and see images of people dying halfway around the world in a conflict between Israel and Palestine that makes us all uncomfortable and anxious about the stability of peace worldwide. Maybe you turn on the news and hear stories about people right in our own community who receive, you know, assistance just so that they can have enough to eat, so that when they're sitting in classrooms, their minds can be free to learn. And in a country filled with prosperity, we still have people in our midst who struggle with hunger. Maybe you're anxious about the increasing political division inside our world today, and as you turn on the television, the first thing that you see is a smear campaign against another candidate, and you find yourself increasingly at odds with the negativity and the prevalence of hate speech that exists in our world as well. Maybe you're anxious about the continuing degradation of the environment. You're anxious about the storms that have come through one after another, the multi-million and billion dollars of damage that takes place in places all around the world every time there's a natural disaster. Maybe it's easy for you to look at our world today and reflect upon times gone by and think things were better back when X. It's not hard in our world today, like these women, to go running to the grave expecting dead things to stay dead. In fact, I think sometimes it's easier when dead things stay dead because we don't have to prepare our hearts for the miraculous or the unexpected. But this morning, I want to tell you about a couple of things that I've seen in our church where even I went running to the grave expecting dead things to stay dead, and instead I found empty tombs. Things that have been miraculous and exciting and unexpected have taken place right here in our community of faith. The first thing I want to share with you is, and some of this will be familiar for some of you, but last October we sent a mission team down to Redbird, Kentucky. And in fact, it was years that, over the course of several years, United Methodist women, women from churches all across the country, collected Campbell's soup labels, small little cutouts from each and every soup can. And if they collected like a million of these, they were able to turn them into Campbell's Soup Company, and they would provide Redbird Mission with a brand new Ford Econoline van, which they would use to go out and repair people's homes in three of the poorest counties in the United States. And these vehicles are now 20, 25, 30 years old. They're ancient. And when we went down there, for years I've been going down to Redbird, Kentucky, and when we went down there, it would activate your prayer life when you turn the ignition switch because the entire dashboard would light up like a Christmas tree. And you wondered if the brakes would work, which is sort of a significant piece when you're driving through the mountains of Appalachia, when the coal mining trucks come around the corner and you have this fleeting thought like, oh God, I hope my brakes work. These vehicles were in disrepair. And Jeff went down to Redbird for the first time this last year, and one of our members, he came with this incredible passion. He came back to Michigan with this incredible passion that our church would be tasked with the responsibility of replacing this fleet of vehicles that they use to repair homes in Redbird, Kentucky. And he came back with this calling. And to be honest with you, I was a little bit like the women in the story. I was like, well, Jeff, that's pretty ambitious. Like, buying a couple of vehicles, that would take a lot. We worked all of last year to raise $30,000. That was a big stretch for our church to be able to provide scholarships for 100 children in Liberia, which we had completed and accomplished, and those kids are in school today. And so I said, so what's our goal? And Jeff said, $35,000. And I was like, up and to the right, sounds good. But I have to admit, I was anxious about this. I was afraid. I was like, I don't know if we could do this. Well, sure enough, with a little bit of faith, with a little bit of running to the tomb and discovering it empty, I'm here to tell you that a vehicle, a Redbird Mission Econoline van, is sitting in our parking lot today because of the extravagant generosity of people in our church. And that vehicle will be shipped down to Redbird, Kentucky in a little over a week, and they will be able to use it in concert with the rest of their fleet. I believe if you take a moment to go out and see it, it's parked right in our front driveway out here. You'll see this vehicle that our church has fundraised for. In just over 3 months, the church has already raised the $35,000 necessary to buy that vehicle and potentially another one. And then along the way, if you can't, you know, it's like kind of mind-blowing to me, another member of our church sent out word that we were trying to do this van drive, and his son-in-law in Chicago, Illinois, had a vehicle on his fleet that he was looking to donate somewhere. Sure enough, a Ford F-350 was shipped from Chicago, Illinois, all the way down to Redbird, Kentucky, and it's already being used down in Kentucky as we speak to support the Redbird mission down there already. Amen. And you know, here's the crazy thing about it. Like, last I checked, it's not even April yet. And this was a goal for our church throughout the course of this entire year. A dream that we had to help rejuvenate the fleet. And I should have known better. We're the Motor City. This is what we do. You can hardly look to any pew in the sanctuary without finding a retired or active engineer engaged in one of the big three. So I thank God that while I was looking for the living amongst the dead, Jesus was alive in your hearts to make possible this vehicle that literally is sitting on our lot today. In addition to that, there are so many other wonderful stories that have taken place over the course of this last year. A little over a year ago, one of our members, Pat Moore, came to me and said, we've been making these sanitation kits for women all around the world, and we are looking for a place that we can send these so that we would know exactly where they go, and we'd know that they're making an impact. And so every Wednesday, there's been a ministry of our church that gets together and sews these kits together for girls all around the world so that they can stay in school in developing nations. And so sure enough, we put them inside Costco bins, and at this point, well over 100 of these kits have been sent to girls in over 200. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate that. Editor. I almost missed that. That was a bad rounding error. Almost double the number of kits have been sent already to Liberia, and there are photos that have been shared of these girls jumping up and down because of these kits that have been sent by members of our church. It helps them stay in school, which education is life in countries like Liberia. I've been excited because in the midst of this last year, we had a space inside our church, a library that we dreamed of renovating so that it could be used for funerals and weddings, and we could be proud of the space. And so just after Christmas Eve, we went under construction, and by God's grace, through a miracle series of events, we finished that project on time and on budget so it would be ready for Easter Sunday, and it's ready now. It's a beautiful space that's been prepared for people to use for all purposes. Throughout the course of this last year, Pastor Lynn and Deacon Loretta have led two grief groups to support people who are grieving the loss of a loved one. And in the midst of those experiences, there have been beautiful conversations about the reality of human loss, and people's lives have been knit together as they shared real stories of grief and pain and anguish. It's exciting that we're launching a young adult group in the midst of our church. With everything that goes on in our world, there's research out there that says that increasingly these days, more and more people in their 20s and 30s are moving away from organized religion. But in the last couple of months, there have been a number of people in their 20s and 30s who say, my faith is important. This church is important to me. I want to gather with other young adults. I want to start a new group to get together with young people. And I'm excited to be launching a group for young adult ministry in our church. Our youth ministry, which just a couple of years ago had 3 or 4 students gathering every other week for youth group, now routinely we'll have 15 to 20 students gathering every other Wednesday night as part of a growing and thriving youth ministry. Just recently, we were able to extend an offer to 2 young adults to join our staff as nursery workers so we could open the nursery again. For some of you, that is good news in and of itself, because for 1 hour, amen, for 1 hour, you're able to drop off your beautiful, beloved little disciples of Jesus with somebody else, and you can have adult thoughts inside the sanctuary thinking about things and maybe even like complete an entire sentence, right? And have it answered by your partner. It's really miraculous. At the end of the day, there have been all kinds of things that have happened in the midst of this church that suggest that we have been looking for the living amongst the dead. Things that we thought might be dead are being resurrected. There's new life, there's new hope. When you look out into the world and see ordinary people doing extraordinary things, it's easy to be inspired and to be reminded that God is still doing incredible things in our midst. I don't know about you, but I can see signs of Jesus' resurrection just as easily as it is to have fear and despair. It's also possible to have hope and to have the joy of knowing that the death does not get to have the last word. No matter how bad things get in the world, no matter how much it seems like destruction might have the last say, no matter how scary it is when you're sitting in a hospital office room with the doctor and they start speaking in the low voice to make you anxious and worried about your health or the health of a loved one, even in those moments, the tomb is empty and death and disease and hunger do not get to have the last word. I'm incredibly proud of one of the groups in our church, the Church and Society Ministry, who recently unanimously voted to affirm that everybody, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, age, socioeconomic status, is welcome within our church. A bold proclamation of who we want to be as United Methodists. Everybody is welcome in this space. Why are we looking? Why are we looking for the living amongst the dead? Jesus is alive and there is hope in the resurrection. The tomb is empty. I just love the question that was asked of those women. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Church, put on the glasses that allow you to see that Jesus is alive. Evil, injustice, oppression don't get to have the last word. This morning, of all mornings, is a proclamation of hope. Thanks be to God. He's not here. He's alive. Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful experience that was. Thank you, Belcoir. God is good.
All the time.
You guys are really good at that now. I love John's story about the dinosaurs. I remember the first time I went to Disney World. I got scared on It's a Small World. Now it's 33 years old. My kids were sitting there holding my hand. Dad, it's going to be okay. Just relax. Take a breath. He is risen. At this time, we would normally call our attention to prayer quilts, but there's no prayer quilts today. So I thought what we might do, as we say our prayers today, remember all the quilt recipients over the years. And that's going to be a lot of them. But say a prayer for them. This is not a one-and-done church. We pray for these people continuously. I have a file on my computer that every time a prayer concern comes in, I put it into this one file. And when I sit down to pray, I don't open it up and pray for everybody, but I say, God, you have access to my files on my computer. I'm praying for all those people in that file. So this is not a one-and-done church. We pray for those people. So remember the people that have received prayer quilts over the years. Now, if you join me in an attitude of prayer. Lord, our Father, Jesus, our Savior, we pray for all the quilt recipients over the years that they have found the comfort and strength they need as their quilt surrounded them with the love and prayers during their times of need, that they felt our prayers as they endured. Lord, we give you thanks for your love, your grace, and your power on this blessed resurrection morning. We thank you for the many friends and loved ones who have made the effort to gather with us today, whether it be in person or online. The women gathered their spices and traveled the road to the tomb to find it empty, and were told that Jesus had risen. Then they traveled the road to the disciples to tell them the good news. Today, we choose our road, which leads to the good news and the hope of a better world by following Jesus Christ. Lord, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. Let our celebration today raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. Lord, the resurrection of your Son has given us new life and renewed hope. Help us to live as new people in pursuit of the Christian ideal. Grant us wisdom to know what we must do, the will to want to do it, the courage to undertake it, the perseverance to continue to do it, and the strength to complete it. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Today we celebrate and give thanks that in life, in death, in life after death, we belong to God. Now we turn to a time of silent prayer and meditation as we pray to you with our concerns, as well as our praises of you and all your good works. Lord, a new day has come, a new road to follow, and new hope for a better life and a better world by following the teachings of a risen Jesus Christ, who, when asked by the disciples, "How do we pray?" said, "Pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
Isn't it a blessing to be here today to hear all of this good news? We are a church that seeks to serve God by our actions, also by our talents, and also by our financial gifts. So I invite the ushers to come forward, and I also invite Greg Guys to come and share a mission moment with us.
Sorry, I'm out of the office, gone fishing. And I about passed out when I read the bulletin and saw extravaganza. Yeah. That's why I'm going to open with prayer, because I'm going to the big guy. Would you join me in prayer as the ushers go around? Gracious, loving, and merciful God, you are the God who saves us from our sins. We rejoice in the resurrected Jesus and give thanks for his amazing sacrifice. Lord, let us give thanks for organizations like CAST Community Social Services. Help them with their efforts to fight poverty, create opportunity, and develop community. Bless the staff and volunteers that help provide clothing and shelter to the homeless, that package, prepare, and serve meals to the hungry, that maintain building grounds for beauty and safety, that provide access to basic health and other services. May those CAST serves see your glory through the efforts of this church's volunteers. May CAST and those they serve experience the love of Christ in the efforts of our volunteers. Lord, encourage us to support organizations like CAST Community Social Services. That which we do for others, we also do for Jesus, the one who made us right with you. Amen. CAST Community Social Services needs many volunteers to help them help others. Brighton First United Methodist has regularly sent groups to do whatever they needed to be done. We've had a relationship with CAST Community Social Services for at least 15 years since I started going down there. Regardless of what we do, I see beyond the activity and see the people that are being helped. Yes, I've gone fishing in search of volunteers for our supercalifragilisticexpialidocious supersized April 6th CAST adventure. We're putting together, where'd it go? Where'd my picture go? Oh my gosh, thank you. Oh my goodness. The little guy there is putting together a posse to fight poverty. Look at the smile on the kid's face. You can't see it, right? The more volunteers we have, the more we can do. We will also celebrate Supa 2's April birthday. That's Supa 2 right there. She's also smiling for all the volunteers that come from this church. Sue was a member of Brighton First United Methodist Church, and she happens to coordinate the volunteers that serve there, volunteers that have a variety of skills. Our Saturday mission trips offer regular, nearby mission opportunities with a variety of activities. We typically leave here around 8 o'clock, and we return by 4. But there are times that we get back sooner, and there are volunteers that sometimes work a half a day. Our volunteers support an organization that helps resurrect lives of those in Detroit. In the movie Ordinary Angels, one of the characters says something that really struck me. They said, life is sometimes about saying yes and then figuring out how to do it. Please consider just saying yes to our April 6th date. Sue will plan the day. All you have to do is bring a lunch if you're going to stay the whole day. Let's go and bear good fruit. Amen.
Lord and Savior, as you live to serve, we live to serve you. Accept these offerings we bring today and use them to lift up your church, your community, and your world. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
And while as you go out into the world, I pray that your life would be a testimony that Jesus is alive. As you go out into the world, if you feel so moved, you're welcome to go out through these doors and enjoy some hospitality, some treats and refreshments. If you'd like to go out into our parking lot, the Redbird van that we have worked to fundraise for is here in all of its metal and rubber and plastic glory. It's a beautiful vehicle out there. If you want to go out and just lay hands on it and say a prayer that it might be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Redbird, Kentucky, I want to finish with this last word for you. A couple of months ago, we dreamed about how we could partner with an organization just down the street from us in Northfield Township. We learned that there were folks struggling with poverty and hunger right here in our own backyard. And the Mission Council planned an event to be able to provide food for our neighbors in need in the Whitmore Lake community where our second campus is at. And so the church was able to have about 70 people who packaged, purchased, and distributed about 35 food baskets for folks in need in the Whitmore Lake community. I've got to say to you, it was a great joy to be there as somebody walked into our fellowship hall and grabbed their 5 bags filled with food and said, "Wow, what a great Easter you have provided for me." She walked out with tears in her eyes. A lot of people show up in our lives expecting to find the dead. We proclaim that we do not look for the living amongst the dead. Jesus is alive, and we are convinced of the resurrection of Jesus, which transforms our lives and the whole world, one food basket at a time, one van at a time, one story at a time. Let us go out into the world proclaiming the resurrection. Happy Easter. Jesus is alive. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with 2 locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our 2 locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.